the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum and welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio. So welcome. During this episode, we want to speak about the value of the Quran in the eyes of the Muslims. Let's open the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 5th of Rabiul Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the first of the month of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Waqa from the Holy Quran, verses 77 to 82.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنه لقرآن كريم.
Indeed, it is a noble Quran.
في كتاب مكنون.
In a register well protected.
لا يمسه إلا المطهرون.
None touch it except the purified.
تنزيل من رب العالمين.
It is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds.
أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون.
Then is it to this statement that you are indifferent?
وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون.
And make the thanks for your provision that you deny the provider.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear friend, the attribute Karim employed for the glorious Quran refers to Allah, the Almighty, the most generous and the most benevolent, and the same attribute also designates a human virtue. The Arabic word also reflects the great merits of the Holy Quran and its eloquence and rhetorical figures, as well as its interesting contents. Since it is revealed by the Lord, who is the origin of the perfection and beauty, God Almighty is the origin of revelation as well as the goal of the Holy Quran.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya سجدة للجبال في ركعة في صلاة نرجو بها إلها نسعى بها لرضا يا الله يا الله عادل في قضائك يا الله يا الله واسع في عطائك.
The value of the Quran in the eyes of Muslims. The Quran contains a pattern of a complete way of life for man. The religion of Islam is superior to any other in that it guarantees happiness in man's life. For Muslims, Islam is a belief system with moral and practical laws that have their source in the Quran. Allah, may He be exalted, says in chapter 17, verse 9, "Indeed, this Quran guides to the path which is clearer and straighter than any other." He also says in chapter 16, verse 69, "We have revealed to you the book which clarifies every matter." These references exemplify the numerous Quranic verses which mention the principles of religious belief, moral virtues, and general legal system governing all aspects of human behavior. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. As Muslims, we are expected to discharge our duties toward the Holy Quran. The point is that, first of all, the Holy Quran is the intact word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot find any other religion in the world in which you may have access to the intact and precise words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one point. Another point is that the Holy Quran is the book of guidance. I mean, the prime book of guidance, so the first book of guidance for all people in general and for Muslims in specific. We find that the Holy Quran in itself is an act, an instance of a miracle. I mean, a linguistic and literary miracle of the Islamic religion. We find that in Muslim communities, there are some people who may be inclined to read out, to recite some prayers, some supplications based on some prayer books quite a lot. But at the same time, practically, they are not that much attentive to the Holy Quran. This is wrong. Of course, everybody needs to pay attention to prayers, to supplications, especially those received from the infallible Imams. Yet, the Holy Quran, as the intact word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as the book in which, from the beginning to the end, from cover to cover, we find the divine instructions, not only to Muslims, but also to all people, such a book shouldn't be neglected, shouldn't be overlooked.
Teachings of the Quran. The universal import of the Quran. The Quran is not directed towards any one particular nation, such as the Arabs, or to a particular sect of Muslims, but to non-Islamic societies as well as the Muslim nation as a whole. There are numerous references to non-believers and idol worshippers, to the people of Book, exhorting each one to strive towards a true understanding of the Quran and of Islam. The Quran calls each group to Islam by providing proofs and never stipulates that they be of Arab stock. It is true that before Islam spread beyond the Arabian Peninsula, Quranic junctions were obviously directed towards the Arab nation. From the sixth year after the Hijrah, when the Deen of Islam was being propagated beyond the peninsula, there are references which demonstrate the Quran is addressing itself to mankind in general. History has amplified, demonstrated that Islam has been embraced by a number of leading members of other religions, including the idol worshippers of Mecca, Jews and Christians, and by people from diverse communities, such as Salman of Persia, Suhaib from the Roman people, and Bilal of Ethiopia. Now we go to tips part. Tips for improving your relationship with the Quran. Tip number one, before you touch it, check your heart. The key to really benefiting from the Quran is to check your heart first before you even touch Allah's book. Ask yourself, honestly why you are reading it. Is it to just get some information and to let it drift away from you later? Remember that the Prophet Muhammad was described as a walking Quran. In other words, he didn't just read and recite the Quran, he lived it. And today's second tip, do your wudu or ablution. Doing your wudu is good physical and mental preparation to remind you you're not reading just another book. You're about to interact with Allah. So being clean should be a priority when communicating with Allah.
Unlike the miracle of every previous prophet, which was bound by their time, the Quran is a miracle that transcends time, so that all generations have the opportunity to experience this miraculous book delivered to us by the Almighty God. When the Prophet ﷺ brought the Quran, we have to understand the makeup of his society to really understand how the Quran served as proof that it was from the Almighty God. The Quran contains many types of miracles. The content of the Quran is miraculous, and we are required to study the content. A lot of people today, most Muslims are not Arabs, and they don't speak the Arabic language, and they wonder, how do I really know that this Quran is a miracle from God? I'm not an eloquent Arabic speaker who knows the literary features of the Quran for me to see that this is a miracle from God, or to appreciate the beauty of the Quran. Well, study the content of the Quran. The content of the Quran is miraculous. The scientific miracles mentioned in the Holy Quran. If you look at the legal system that the Quran brought, it's miraculous. How a man during those times who grew up in Arabia, which was away from the center of knowledge and learning, could produce such a legal system for you. The Quran has predictions. Abu Lahab and Surah Al-Masad, the Quran predicted that he would die as an unbeliever, and that happened. The Quran in the chapter of the Romans predicted that the Romans would achieve victory over the Persians within a few years, and that happened. And there are so many other predictions in the Holy Quran. That in itself reveals the miraculous nature of the Holy Quran.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark, I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and we now present you part of a moving supplication to Almighty God by Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O you, the aware of hidden consciences, you are merciful to everything and aware of everything. Forgive those who repent and follow your path. Protect them from the torment of fire. Give them soon your victory that you have promised them, and you do not fail the promise. Thank you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytin al-tayyibin al-tahirin al-ma'asumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the things that we as human beings need to understand is that, you know, we are not the masters of our own destiny, as it is said. You know, especially as being those who are religious individuals who understand that, you know, we are not independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way whatsoever. And it requires us to actually pay attention to the fact that every single need and every single thing that we need, even from the small minutest of things, we should ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we may feel that we are able to do it ourselves. This is very important, that we feel we are able to do it ourselves. But in reality, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a split second decided to take that power that He has given us, or that strength that He has given us away, then we will not be able to do anything. Now we know many, I'm sure some of us know individuals who are fine 1 second, and then the next second, no, they completely lose control, they lose their strength and they just collapse and they can't do anything. Now this is something that we need to keep in mind and pay considerable attention to. So in this tradition that we recite, or we mention from Musa alayhi salam, it is mentioned that Musa alayhi salam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now commanding who? Is commanding and Ulil Azam Prophet, one of the great prophets, that the Prophet had brought a new Sharia or a new divine law. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him that, O Musa, or O Moses, or O Musa, ask me for every single thing that you need. Whatever that may be, even if you feel that you are able to do so, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. The reason is that, no, you are understanding here and you are creating that need within yourself that, you know, I am not independent. I am completely dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single thing that I need. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says that even the grass for your sheep, you know, if we just let his sheep go out, you know, there's plenty of grass everywhere. He would just been able to send his sheep and let them graze. But Allah said, even those things that are already there, ask me for it. And you know, the reason, as I mentioned, that you create this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah continues and says to Musa alayhi salam, and even the salt for your dough, something so small, something so insignificant as salt, something you can easily acquire, even ask me for that. Again, to create that connection, to create that feeling of complete dependence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a good thing. Hence we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to inculcate within ourselves this concept of dependence upon Him in every single aspect of our lives, in every single thing that we do, and every single thing that we need. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. The Quran is a book in which its beauty is confessed by even non-Muslim scholars. In this segment, we are going to listen to some quotes from different scholars about the Noble Quran. Hamilton Alexander Ruskin Gibb, 1895-1971, known as H.A.R. Gibb, was a Scottish historian on Orientalism. He wrote many books on history of Islam and Arabs. In his book, Arabic Literature, An Introduction, he wrote about the Quran the following. As a literary monument, the Quran thus stands by itself, a production unique to the Arabic literature, having neither forerunners nor successors in its own idiom. Muslims of all ages are united in proclaiming the inimitability, not only of its contents, but also of its style. Now let's listen to the recitation of verses 23 to 24 of Surah At-Tawbah. recited by Sheikh Ahmad al-Razaiqi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was the recitation of Surah At-Tawbah, verse 23 and 24, by Sheikh Ahmad al-Razaiqi. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا. We have met the munfasil in this phrase. يا أيها. We have the ya and the word أيها. So we have two words, one with a long vowel, one followed by a hamza, and then two separate words. So we have met munfasil. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا آباءكم. In this phrase, we have both kinds of مد. We have مد المنفصل first, then we have مد المتصل. لا تتخذوا آباءكم. The first one is مد المنفصل because there are two words, the long vowel and the hamza, they're in separate words, while in the next mad the long vowel and the hamza, they're in the same word. So أباءكم. For مد المنفصل, you're allowed to lengthen it to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. But for مد المتصل, you can only lengthen it to 4 or 5 vowel counts. This verse has a lot of mad in it. وإخوانكم أولياء. Again, مد المتصل. It's not really that difficult to distinguish between مد المتصل and مد المنفصل. Most of the time, the hamza is connected to the word that is in the مد المتصل. But for مد المنفصل, the hamza is not connected, except for يا أيها, which is an exception, and you have to be careful that you don't confuse مد المنفصل with مد المتصل in that phrase. إن استحبوا الكفر على الإيمان. كفر, را should be pronounced with تفخيم, with the raising of the back of the tongue. ومن يتولهم منكم, we have إدغام مع الغنة. من يتولهم منكم, and we have إدغام of ميم ساكنة into another ميم. So we have idgham of nun sakina and idgham al mutamathilain, two like letters. The first one sakin, the second one with a haraka. We don't pronounce the first sakin one. We only pronounce the second one, but with shatta and with more intensity. Yatawallahum minkum. And of course it has ghunna because it's a meme. So you have to nasalize it for 2 vowel counts. Faulaika humul fasiqun, humul zalimun. قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم. So we have 2 مد المتصلس, آباؤكم, أبناؤكم, the same rulings as the previous verse for مد المتصل. وأموال اقترفتموها. Now what happened here? We have التقاء الساكنين, which means the meeting of 2 sakin letters. In Arabic, it's impossible to pronounce 2 sakin letters in 2 different words because you can't begin uttering a word that is sakin. You have to give it a haraka. So, أموالٌ اقترفتموها, and you know Hamzatul Wasl is not part of the word and it should not be pronounced when it's in the middle of the utterance. So what do? We give a kasra to the first sakin letter, which is nun sakina, so that this phrase can be pronounced, can be read. وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةً تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. We have إِخْفَاء of nun sakina here. جِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. We have تَرْقِيق of رَاء بِأَمْرِهِ. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. قَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. قَ has, the قَاف has تَفْخِيم in both cases. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to this program. Inshallah, we will analyze more recitations in future programs. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
كتاب الله, كتاب الله, كتاب الله.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Inshallah, in this episode, we'll be telling a story from another verse of the Holy Quran and how this verse again attracted the heart of a seeker.
The verse in question is from Surah Tawbah, verse number 111, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bought the believers. Now there's an interaction here, and rather a transaction between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the believers. So it is mentioned in some of the books of tafasir and the books of commentary on the Holy Quran under this verse. So one day an Arabi or a Bedouin entered into the masjid, and incidentally the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, and he recited this verse of the Holy Quran, Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minin anfusahum, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, acquired or has purchased the souls, or rather the mu'mineen themselves. So this person got very taken aback by this, and he asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who recited this verse? Where did this verse come from? And the Holy Prophet replies to him that this is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who does this transaction. So this person then asked that when did this transaction take place? Now the reason for this asking is because of the verb. The verb is in the past perfect form. The verb ishtara is in the past tense. So that Arabi is asking, when did this transaction take place? So the Holy Prophet replies to him, on the day of the covenant. That is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant from his creation, that they will act upon the laws of Allah subhanahu, and they will testify that there is no Lord other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Arabi, this Bedouin, on hearing this verse, on hearing the story behind it, on hearing about the day of covenant, then says to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I swear by Allah that this transaction is the most profitable of transactions. Meaning what? Meaning I am giving my life, which is a very minimum amount of time, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, for what? For eternity. This is a transaction that is worth doing. Then this Arabi continues and says, this is a transaction that I will never break, nor it is a transaction that I will ask for it to be nullified or broken. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us like this Arabi, a person who was not very educated according to the terminology of Arabi or the history of Islam. But this individual understood that this transaction is something worth having and binding yourself with. Inshallah, until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe,
استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
The topic that we've been covering over the previous nights has been to look at the concept of justice and injustice. Now, one of the problems that we have, if we're honest with ourselves, is that sometimes we become jaded and we become like kind of apathetic to what's going on. And this is something which happens to a lot of people. You know, the more they get set in their lives, they kind of forget about what's happening in other people's lives. And they get busy, you know, they get a family, they have a job, they have to make their mortgage payments, and, you know, it becomes hard for them to even worry. That's why you find that at the most, people typically get a bit active in their university years, but then after that, it's pretty much over. Why is that the case? Like, what's happening? Why is it that sometimes, you know, we feel this apathy? It's a serious problem. It's a sickness. In Dua An-Nudba, which is a dua which has been reported to us and given to us by the imams, when we're told to look forward to the coming of our living imam and his duhur, his reappearance, one of the things that we say is, Aynal Murtaja li izalatil jawri wal udwan. Where is the one who is hoped for as a means to take away injustice and societal and political injustice and oppression? These words are supposed to be words that we actually, like, you know, we feel in our hearts. We actually, like, it's something that really wakes us up, and we feel a constant passion and an awareness and a pain with regards to oppression in our society and other societies. If it's not the case, then usually the problem is ourselves. Because a heart which is alive with the remembrance of Allah is a heart which neither accepts oppression, that neither accepts to commit oppression, nor does it accept oppression being done. When somebody's heart has a problem in it, then they start feeling like it's okay for them to commit injustice, then they'll be okay with other people committing injustice. And when somebody's heart has a problem in it, then and they are being controlled by their low desires, like they give in to their own shahwa, then they'll be okay being used as a tool by the oppressors as well. You see what I'm saying? So there's a connection between somebody's spiritual state and being apathetic and not being caring about what's going on. So one of the examples that I'd like to give tonight, the example is that of what's taking place with the oppression of the Islamic movement of Nigeria, the movement that is headed by Sheikh Ibrahim Az-Zakzaki. I know that Mu'mineen are aware of this. It's something that has been on your radar recently, and it's something which is we're all concerned about. But I thought I would spend a few minutes just mentioning some things about this movement, because after all, it's there, it's living. And these are people who are operating according to the principles that they were taught by Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam. Sheikh Zakzaki, it's important to understand, how did he achieve such a status where millions of people have now, you know, they recognize him as their leader? One of the things that he did is that even though he was openly a follower of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, he was openly a Shia Muslim, he didn't in any way exclude others from being part of this movement. In fact, when people would come and join the movement and they were from Ahlul Sunnah, and let's say they were to accept the followings and the practices of the Shias, he would tell them that don't move away from your community. Don't start going to other masajid. No, stay there. Even, let's say it was a male, they would tell him, marry somebody who is from Ahlul Sunnah and be there and be a source of guidance for others. Many of them didn't even choose to accept the Shia, like, for example, faith and the fiqh of the Shias, but they politically and socially identified with Sheikh Zakzaki. And many of those who are, for example, the bodyguards, and they're the ones who are in different positions of power within the movement, they are from the Ahlus Sunnah. This is the type of movement that he was able to lead. Sheikh Zakzaki was somebody who always was trying to not just... He used a dual strategy of both tackling social issues and political issues as well. You know, he was the one, like, they were the ones to provide education, to provide medical supplies, to clean up the streets, to clean up the graveyards. They would have teams of volunteers who would go and clean up the public restrooms even. And people would see this and they would appreciate the type of services they were providing. And politically, he would talk openly about justice and injustice, and he would encourage his followers to go into the masses and to ask them questions that would talk to their soul and talk to their fitrah. Don't you understand what's happening with the Zionist regime and what they're doing? Isn't that something that, in some way, don't you side with the Palestinians who are oppressed? And these type of things would make it be the case that, you know, for example, the Day of Quds in Nigeria, you'd have millions of people come on the streets, even though, you know, you'd ask, what do they have to do with the oppressed Palestinians? And as a result, you know, he was targeted by the oppressors. And it's something which is very sad when you look at the type of oppression that was done. Here's a man who has lost an eye. He was targeted, you know, in an attack. He's lost 6 sons. He's somebody who was in prison for sometimes years on end. The latest incident of him being put into house arrest is only the latest in a string of being imprisoned, like, you know, a string of events of him being imprisoned. He says in his own words, you know, he said that there were times that I was put into prison and I was in like basically a dungeon where I wouldn't even know when it was when the sun was out. The only way I would know when to pray is based on when I would get food from the guards. Like he said, I knew they would come in to give me dinner, for example, around 7 p.m. And based on that, I would be able to say my Maghrib and Isha prayers. And when they would give the lunch, then I would know when to do my Dhuhr prayers. But for the Fajr prayer, he says that I didn't have any way of knowing when that would be. So I would just wake up in the morning and multiple times I would recite the Fajr prayer just to make sure that I would get it within the time period. But I feel that sometimes I might have recited at 1 a.m. or sometimes at 7 a.m. I'm not sure. Right, this is the type of suffering you have to go through. Sometimes he says that I wouldn't take a shower for an extended period of time. And then the guards would ask me, they say, why aren't you taking that shower? He says, because in our faith, we're not allowed to be in a state of not having, you know, clothing, even if it comes in front of others when it comes to showering. So then finally the guards relented and they allowed him to shower in private. Right, this is the type of injustice that this living individual, this living leader has had to face. Now, we're living in a generation, my brothers and sisters, where you have, for example, you know, humans of New York or humans of India or, you know, different ways of using social media to be able to attract the sympathy of thousands or even millions of people. So when you have, you know, these groups and individuals who say that, okay, it's time for us to work together and unite and to raise awareness, these are not things to be ignored. We need, of course, there's a lot of room to grow in terms of doing things in a proper way, in an organizational way, institutional way, but these things can have a huge difference.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
The ocean of dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. So, dear listeners, we were talking about the things we should not pray for to the Almighty Allah. We mentioned that there are some norms, sunan, and rules governing this universe that we shouldn't petition in contrary to these norms. We shouldn't also pray for illegal things. And the last of thing we mentioned was wishing the eradication of blessings from the others. And this was due to a kind of misunderstanding.
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
Some people think that when Allah wills to bestow a blessing upon the servants, He needs to take the blessing from other persons and then grant it to him. Allah is not so. Abdul Rahman bin Abi Najran says, one day I asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about the verse, "Do not covet the advantage which Allah has given some of you over others." He said, "One should not covet the wife or daughter of the other person. Rather, he should wish the like of it." So, we shouldn't ask the Almighty Allah to transfer a blessing from the other people to us. So up to now we have talked about three different things not to be asked from the Almighty Allah for ourselves when it comes to praying. Another thing to be mentioned is that praying against one's own advantage is among other things that one ought not to pray for. The people are usually not aware of their own maslaha, and man is always unaware of that which benefits him and harms him. But Allah, the Exalted, the All-Knowing, knows best, and He would either substitute